Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Well, I'm stoked that next week you are appreciating those guys because the feelings go both ways. I am just so moved by all that Barry and Audrey invested in us, and we still call them our pastors, and it's just a joy to be here this morning, not just with them, but with many of you who we recognize and have gotten to know. It's wonderful to be back. I see that wave. My eyes are getting used to the lights. I see you. But you know, I could go on to introduce, and welcome to those joining online. I could go on to introduce what I'm going to talk about today, but I have somebody who's very skilled, a skilled musician, as a matter of fact, and I'm going to have him introduce the message for today. So sound people, I'm just going to hold this right up to my lapel mic here, and I hope you enjoy.
Nobody knows all the trouble I've seen.
Anyone recognize this?
Nobody knows.
That's okay, you can get some groove on.
Jesus.
That's right. A little blues.
Nobody knows all the trouble I've seen. Glory, hallelujah.
Oh, it gets a little better.
Yes, lots of trouble float around these days.
Lots of trouble.
Seems like everybody's sick, sick, sick.
I'm right in there with them. Right?
Well, there's one thing that's for sure. Ain't no use crying. Just get in there and pitch. Sometimes you need help. That's when you kind of look up, you know. That's sometimes.
Well, that's Louis Armstrong. Maybe some of you have heard of him, maybe not. Infamous singer, clearly loved that voice, hey, so deep and rich. This song, though, did not originate with Louis Armstrong. It was actually originated during the period of slavery, and it wasn't published until 1867. And it emerged as this spiritual hymn that was expressing the pain and the suffering and yet the hope that characterized the lives of these individuals who had walked through slavery. And these spirituals, and many of you would be familiar with that term, became this integral part of the African American culture, and it provided a way for them to express their anguish over the troubles and the distress that they were in. Now, this song in particular, however, I've not necessarily heard it in that context. I've heard it more sung in jest, like, oh, my coffee was too cold today, I didn't find the right parking spot, the photocopier wasn't working, and then we jokingly sing, nobody knows the troubles I've seen, right? We go there. And so, but troubles, the reality is, they are not a light-hearted thing. They're a very real part of life here in our sin-stained, fallen world. And significant troubles. Scripture tells us in this world you will have troubles. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus speaking. Another scripture in Matthew 5 says, but I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and unjust alike. The Apostle Paul in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1, he writes to the church and he says this, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. So this man of God, this mighty missionary, was not impervious to the troubles of this world. Troubles are inevitable, and we've all had them. And whether you would define them as big troubles or small troubles, there was a period of my life where I'm like, yeah, it's not really been all too bad. It doesn't matter. It doesn't, the scripture that we're going to look at this morning, Psalm 46, it doesn't identify big troubles or little troubles. It simply labels them as distress. Anything that causes us distress, anything that we would label as troubles. And so if you've experienced distress, you can identify with what we're going to be talking about and what we're going to read. So there's no need this morning to compare your distress or your troubles with somebody else's and say, well, mine are insignificant or mine were plentiful. The scripture is just addressing distress here. So if you do have your Bibles with you, you can go ahead and turn to Psalm 46. We're also going to be looking at it on the screen, so you'll be able to follow along there. But it says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And I use the New King James Version here because I don't know about you, but I know this as a song from way back. God is our refuge and God is our strength, right? As I was preparing this, that song just kept running through my mind over and over. And so I use this, it might be familiar to you as well. However, this is a very great but inaccurate verse. Now, what I mean is the scripture is totally accurate. So if you just tuned in online, scripture is accurate, okay? We're just going to put that out there. But the part, therefore, we will not fear, not always so accurate. We'd like it to be true, but when troubles come, it can feel very lonely. When troubles come, it can seem like God is distant. When we're distressed, we can wonder, God, are you going to help me out of this one? Are you really present in my trouble? Are you really here? And are you really going to walk me through this? So I thought this morning, why not talk about that? Why not ask what God's help in trouble can look like? Why not ask how we can be the people who respond, therefore, we will not fear? So I'm going to do a little backstory here. I was studying this psalm and looking to why this psalm was written. What was the time period? What were the possible events behind it? And first of all, I want to draw your attention to the passage that says, God is our refuge, therefore we will not fear. So these are these collective words. It's speaking about a group of people, not just a singular individual expressing it. It was a collective declaration of the people of God during a time when they were experiencing significant trouble. And commentators speculate that the possible background for this was God's deliverance of Jerusalem from the Assyrians during the time of King Hezekiah. Now, you might go, I'm not so sure what that looked like. We're going to look at this a little bit, and I'll just do a quick unpacking or summary of what was going on. And it's a very interesting narrative. It's from 2 Kings 18, and I'm simply going to summarize that, 2 Kings 18. So Assyria invades Judah, and King Hezekiah pays them tribute to get them to withdraw. However, Assyria doesn't. No, I don't think so. Thanks for the money, thanks for the tribute, but we're not backing down. And so Assyria's king chief of staff sends a message from the king that goes as follows. This is what the great king of Assyria says. I think he would talk with a great voice. I don't necessarily have the deep baritone, but just pretend. Pretend a Louis Armstrong moment here. This is what the great king of Assyria says. What are you trusting in that makes you so confident? Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, anticipates that Hezekiah is going to say, well, of course it's Yahweh. Of course it's God, our help. And the king of Assyria says, don't tell me that. Wasn't Yahweh insulted by you making everyone only worship in Jerusalem? And there's a bit more dialogue that takes place. And then the Assyrian king goes on to say, got to find my Assyrian king voice again. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He will never be able to rescue you from my power. Don't let him fool you into trusting the Lord by saying, the Lord will surely rescue us. This city will never fall into the hands of the Assyrian king. And on the Assyrian king, goes. Meanwhile, Hezekiah says to the people of God, don't even answer him. And then I wonder if this is where the Levites, the writers of Psalm 46, struck up their song. I wonder if this is where they went, the king of Assyria, he's talking smack, we're nervous, we're scared, he's not backing down, and so we're going to write, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And I have this picture of them writing this song and gathering the people of God around and saying, okay, let's sing this together, knees shaking, right, as the king or the armies of Assyria are nearby. And yet as they continue to sing, the boldness rises, the faith rises in their spirit. But that's just my own interpretation added in there. The quick summary is that Hezekiah seeks help from God. After a second message from the Assyrian king where he's talking smack and he's saying, I'm going to come in, I'm going to attack you, don't even believe that God will rescue you, Hezekiah spreads the messages out before the Lord. And Isaiah the prophet says Judah is going to be delivered. That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Deliverance. So the psalmist in Psalm 46 was saying that the people of God could be assured that God was present in their trouble. Not because of what he did in that moment, but I believe even before God's deliverance. Because notice they sing, even if the mountains crumble and are thrown into the sea, we believe God is a present help in trouble. I think they even got bolder because if we look at the New Living Translation, it translates verse 3 to say, let the oceans roar and foam, let the mountains tremble and the waters surge. So the question is, how can you and I today, with knees shaking perhaps in the midst of trouble, declare with boldness the very same things in a time of distress and when troubles threaten to overtake us? One of the ways I believe we can do this is we can see beyond the natural. The Assyrians, or the armies of Assyria, they were not defeated by chariots and swords. The people of God in this instance didn't go back and beat them down and fight them off. Instead, it was the almighty hand of God that intervened and did the work. Psalm 46, it goes on to say this in the remainder of verses 4 to 11. A river of joy, or a river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. Don't we need that today? He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. They had to see beyond the circumstance right in front of them to what God was capable of doing. This is God, our deliverer. No trouble or distress is too much for him. We can look beyond what we see with our eyes and remember what God is capable of. That is, help is sufficient. The reality is that our visible circumstances are not always indicative of God's present help. If we fast forward to the New Testament in Matthew 8, we have this narrative of the disciples and Jesus in the boat. And it says, suddenly a fierce storm comes up. And the disciples wake Jesus up shouting, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And Jesus responds, why are you so afraid? You have so little faith? Then he rebukes the wind and the waves and he brings calm to the storm. The disciples in that moment thought Jesus was indifferent to their distress. Jesus was present and a very present help, but there was panic. And when I believe when we see beyond the natural, we can avoid a panic response. I think of driving, when I was driving here yesterday morning, it was quite foggy when we left, when I left Cranbrook. It was just me and God. Left Cranbrook, and as I'm driving through the fog, a herd of elk is in the middle of the road, and I had time to stop. But I remember, in you know, all that driver's training, you're not to panic. Because you do the panic maneuver, you slam on the brakes or whatever, you end up in the ditch. Right? So it's responding appropriately. We can have the opportunity to avoid a panic response in times of trouble by going, God, what are you doing behind the scenes? What are you doing that I cannot see? God, help me to see with spiritual eyes what's going on. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? And I was always inspired by that. Right, I always look up to the mountains and look up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? And I'd look up and look up. But scripture goes on to say, basically, that's not where my help is coming from. It's coming from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, who will not allow our feet to be moved. We have this other brief narrative in 2 Kings 6, where the Arameans are out to seize the prophet Elisha, the prophet of God, and their armies are surrounding the city, and Elisha's servant sees this, and he is in despair. Troubles and distress are present, and Elisha prays to the Lord and says, God, open the eyes of my servant and let him see. The servant's eyes are opened by Yahweh, and he sees the armies of God covering the hillside. What would we see in the midst of troubles? If we prayed, God, Lord, open my eyes, let me see. God, show me what you're capable of. Remind me of what you're capable of in times of distress, that the Lord of heaven's armies is on my side. The second thing is to see beyond the temporal. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, 13 to 18, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. Now, this is a key point that's going to lead into the next part of the scripture. It says, we know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. Also, this is for your benefit. And God's grace reaches more and more people. There will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. So God raised Jesus, presents himself together. There will be more and more people knowing the Lord, grace, thanksgiving. And this is what Paul goes on to say. That is why we never give up. He says, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will be gone forever, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. Now, if we go back just a little bit in that scripture, Paul says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. This is Paul. His present troubles are small? I don't think so. Because if we go back just a little more in verses 8 to 11, here are Paul's small present troubles. I'm pressed on every side. I'm perplexed. I'm hunted down. I'm knocked down. I'm suffering. I'm living under the constant danger of death. I would not, in my own humanity, label any of those troubles as small present troubles. And yet Paul says this, and I have this feeling, had Facebook been around then, that Paul would have marked himself safe. Have you guys ever seen that in the midst of a disaster or whatever? So-and-so marked themselves safe in the big earthquake of San Francisco. Paul marked himself safe as he was being knocked down. Paul marked himself safe as he was in chains. Paul marked himself safe under constant danger of death. And it's because he had this perspective that went beyond the current, the present, this momentary time and space in which we're here on earth, and he had this eternal perspective. I find this utterly fascinating. And back early in 2022, as I was studying the New Testament through just some schooling and education, I was really struck by this, and I began to pray, God, I need an eternal perspective. I think I get way too caught up with all the things of this earth and my present comforts and the troubles that overtake me. And I want to have a better eternal perspective. I want to understand the urgency I need to have for people coming to know you. And suddenly there was a storm. Shortly after those prayers, I was diagnosed with cancer, which many of you know. And I did not see that coming. It was this sudden storm, like the disciples in the boat, and I panicked. I was utterly undone. God, I don't understand. I had faith in God. I trusted him. My theology was sure, but at the same time, I was like, God, I don't understand. What are you doing here? And it was funny because I went back to those prayers about eternal perspective. And as I began to press into God, he began to speak his promises to me. And he began to work in me that eternal perspective, understanding that my days are numbered by God. They are but a drop in the bucket. That I was created for eternity with him and everything here is temporary. So what am I going to do with the time that he's gifted me with? I would have preferred that lesson to happen differently. You know, God, just throw a billboard in front of me and let it resonate in my heart and we're good and I can move on. But that's not how it happened. And yet I'm grateful for God's rescue and God's teaching in that moment. And I'll say more about that in just a little bit. When I thought the mountains were crumbling into the sea, God showed himself a very present help in trouble. And he gave me this particular scripture that you may be familiar with from John 14. It says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am and you know the way to where I am going." And so I took comfort in that. I'm like, God, that's my eternal perspective. When everything is ready, that's when you're going to come and get me. Not a moment sooner, not a moment later, and I can rest in that. When troubles come, we can pray for God's help with our perspective so that we might understand their temporary nature. I think of sports teams, Calgary Flames. Anyone? Anyone? Do we have any fans in the house? Oh, yeah, I knew we did over there. Yeah, I saw the picture with the jerseys. Well done. Sports teams play for the end game. Each individual game accumulates points, which dictates what they're going to be able to do down the road towards the cup, whatever cup it is that they're looking to achieve, in the Flames' case, the Stanley Cup. So all of those things matter towards the end. Paul talks about pressing on towards the prize, the high calling of Christ Jesus. When troubles come, God, help us to understand how temporary they really are. Let us, like Paul, see them as small present troubles, change our perspective. The last point I want to make today is we need to see beyond the enemy's threats. I want to go back for a moment to 2 Kings and the narrative concerning Hezekiah and the king of Assyria, because I think the threats spoken by the Assyrian king are familiar to us today when we face trouble. Only they don't come from the king of Assyria. They come from the enemy of our souls today, the devourer who seeks to steal, to kill, to destroy, the one who is a liar, and scripture says there is no truth in him. And this is what the enemy says. This is a reworking of those words from the king of Assyria. What are you trusting in that makes you so confident? Wasn't God insulted by your recent failure? Don't let anyone deceive you. God will never be able to rescue you from my power. Don't let anyone fool you into trusting the Lord by saying, "The Lord will surely rescue us." Has anyone heard those words internally in times of trouble and distress or some variation of those? There's no help for you. God's not going to rescue you. Why are you so confident? Don't you understand? I heard those lies when I got cancer. Look at all those you've just lost to this disease. There's no hope for you. This is the end for you. No one recovers from this. When those threats were spoken to Hezekiah, scripture says Hezekiah went up to the Lord's temple and he spread out the letter. He spread out the messages before the Lord. And in turn, I've had to do the same. When those lies begin to surface, and some of you know this journey, I know I'm not the only one who's walked through this. I've had to spread out the lies before the Lord and lay claim once again to his promises to me. And in this situation, he promised me, I will rescue you. I number your days. My promise for you is life, among many other things. And it comes up again and again, every scan, every test, to make sure things are all clear, and thankfully they're all clear. But I have to go back to that, because the enemy's not going to stop. He's going to press in and say, why are you so confident? Don't you know that these things don't always go that way? And this is true. They don't. And yet God has promises he's given to me. Psalm 46 begins with, God is our refuge and our strength. And here's the reality, church. To be in a place of refuge, you have to get yourself into it. Right? When we're in a storm, we go looking for an umbrella. When we're in a storm, we go running to the shelter under a storefront and tuck ourselves under it. If we're in a blizzard, we're looking for a place to hide. We don't stand in the storm and go, I wish an umbrella would come to me. I wish the house would come my way so that I would be protected from this storm. We go to the place of refuge. And so when the enemy of our souls is lying to you, we need to go to the place of refuge. We need to spread the lies out in the temple of the Lord or before the Lord and say, God, I need you to address this. I need your help. And we will find refuge. Scripture promises to us. So who or what are we running to when troubles come? Who are we listening to when distress is present? Have we let the threats of the enemy give way to fear instead of heading to the very place where our help is found, where God is at the ready? I'm reading some books on prayer right now, and one of them by Watchman Nee, he writes this: the enemy will do anything which can cause believers to suffer, either spiritually or physically, to fall into sins or to incur loss or damage. Don't let him. Don't let him do that. Take the messages and spread them out before the Lord. Get to the refuge and find God's very present help in trouble. So I wasn't looking today to give you a three-step solution to how to face or solve difficulties or troubles or distress, because there isn't one like that. My heart was to communicate hope to you today. If you are in a place where troubles are present, where distress is present, I want to remind you today that God is a very present help. He has not abandoned you. He has not forgotten you. He continues to be a place of refuge where you can go to and ask him, God, help me see beyond the natural. Help me see beyond the temporal, these temporary things of earth, and help me see beyond the enemy's threats. And so today I want to pray for you as we close and invite the worship team to come back up. You can do that now, worship team. But I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. I didn't so much as have this plan, but I'd love to just see if you're that person today who's like, I'm in the midst of troubles and distress. Whether they're big troubles or little, the psalmist doesn't identify. He just says distress. Would you just slip your hand up briefly and put it back down, and I would love to agree with you in prayer. I see that hand. Anyone else? Yes, I see those. Anyone else? All right. I'm going to agree with you in prayer this morning. So you can put your hands back down and go ahead and close your eyes, and let's just bring this before the Lord. Let's spread out the things that are going on before the Lord this morning. So Lord, we come to you. You promise us many things in Scripture. You promise to be our refuge. You promise to be our strength. You promise to be our very present help in trouble. And God, we admit that in our own humanity, so often we panic. So often we struggle to see that through all of the things that are clouding our way. And so, God, I pray this morning that you would lift any confusion and you would help us to see you, that you would open our eyes, even as you did for Elisha's servant. Open our eyes to see what you are doing in the midst of trouble, to see you as the Lord of heaven's armies that is surrounding us on every side, ready to defend us. God, you are our defender. God, you are our champion. And so, Lord, help us to see that, to see beyond the natural circumstances. God, give us an eternal perspective. Help us to be able to declare, as Paul did, these small, momentary afflictions. God, remind us of your greater plan for each one of us. And God, we pray against the enemy's threats here today. I rebuke every threat of the enemy that is speaking to people to say you cannot place your confidence in God. I rebuke that, and Satan, I command you to stand down in the power and the authority of the blood of Jesus. You do not have a place here. You do not have a say in these circumstances. And God, I pray that your truth would replace every lie right now in the name of Jesus. God, that hope would rise up, that faith would rise up, and that though knees shaking, we might come before you, we would be emboldened to say, you are our very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And we make that declaration today in the name of Jesus for each and every one of us in our own situations. Church, I'd encourage you just to say that, even if it's a whisper out loud, therefore, I will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea, God, we will run to you, our refuge. You are our hiding place, and we will spread the messages out before you. And God, we will look to you to intervene in our situation. You are our rescuer, and we thank you, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.